Last week, we were given a very strong message. Daniel, in his concerns expressed last Shabbat, our brother Daniel, was correct in saying God's messages over the last few Shabbats have been challenging and sometimes, well, perhaps more than sometimes, quite hard. I agree. However, as I have said this many times before, I cannot take the credit for deciding what Abba, through his Holy Spirit, asks me to write. He knows how hard his messages are. He's the teacher. This week, though, he has asked me to focus on something a little softer. Joy, the condition of our hearts. Abba, Father, our great and mighty God. Abba, we desire to receive the joy that comes only from you. We desire to be filled in our hearts and our minds that which we claim to be joyful, the presence of you within us. And so I pray, Abba, that you open up our hearts today and not only our ears. Help us to integrate what you are teaching us today into our lives so that what you teach can be a beacon guiding us along, a lamp unto our feet. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Max Licato is one of my favorite authors. In one of his devotion books, he writes about a parakeet named Chippy. I'll let Max's words tell the story. Chippy the parakeet never saw it coming. One second he was peacefully perched in his cage. The next he was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. The problems began when Chippy's owner decided to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. She removed the attachment from the end of the hose and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang, and she turned to pick it up. She barely said hello when Chippy got sucked in. The bird owner gasped, put down the phone, turned off the vacuum, and opened the bag. There was Chippy, still alive, but stunned. Since the bird was covered with dust and soot, she grabbed him and raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, and held Chippy under the running water. Then, realizing that Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate bird owner would do. She reached for the hairdryer and blasted the pet with hot air. Poor Chippy never knew what hit him. A few days after the trauma, the reporter who had initially written about the event contacted Chippy's owner to see how the bird was recovering. "Well," she replied, "Chippy doesn't sing much more anymore. He just sits and stares." Well, a humorous story indeed. But poor Chippy. How unfortunate his owner took the drastic action she did, resulting in this fragile bird losing the joy in life he once had. Will Chippy ever sing again? Somehow I doubt it. But for me, this raises the question, what exactly is joy? The dictionary definition is quite clear. Joy is a feeling of great pleasure and happiness. Is that all it is? A feeling? Scripture takes us into a deeper understanding when we learn that joy is a state of mind and an orientation of our hearts. How is joy a state of mind? We have been given the right by Jehovah to choose how we orient our minds and our hearts. We may be optimistic, looking at our world through Messiah-colored glasses. By the same token, we may choose to be pessimistic, always looking for, and coincidentally finding, the worst in life. That choice is ours. However, how does Jehovah wish us to orient our minds and hearts? How does he wish us to show up and be present to him? To explore this question, we need to go to the source, his word. Joy comes to us through his word, both in the Hebrew and apostolic scriptures. For example, let's read the following passage from Psalm 47. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with cries of joy. Why? Because Adonai Elyon is awesome, a great king over the world. And then in Isaiah 9, we find, you have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice in your presence as if rejoicing at harvest time, the way men rejoice when dividing up the spoil. In these passages, we find the source of our joy is Jehovah himself. And then, joy becomes an expression of our relationship with the ruler of the universe and the lover of our souls. In Ecclesiastes 9, we receive another perspective of joy, namely, so go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a happy heart, for God has already accepted your deeds. Here is where the orientation of our minds coincides with the orientation of our hearts. Jehovah has seen where our hearts are focused, and if they are focused on him, we do not have to worry about where our next meal will come from. He will provide so we can eat what he has given us with joy. Now that is something to sing about. Hallelujah. Joy takes on a slightly different hue in the apostolic scriptures, although not unexpectedly. Yaakov, the brother of Messiah, exhorts us in James 1, regard it all as joy, my brothers, when you face various kinds of temptations. How is facing temptation a moment of joy? Yaakov answers this question in verse 3. For you know that the testing of your trust produces perseverance. Now this is a concept which turns the world's logic on its head. Being joyful in the midst of trials and temptations. Here, though, is then the twist in Jehovah's perspective of joy. Hardship within a life led by a God-centered heart brings blessings, grace, and growth in our character and of our faith. Before we go much further along this track, let's take a moment and examine the elements of biblical joy. The first element of joy is confidence. Confidence is the quality of our minds which accepts or rejects the understanding we are the children of the living Elohim. Rav Shaul clarifies this for us clearly when in Philippians 4 he wrote, I can do all things through him who gives me power. Imagine, we do not have to create our own confidence when we accept Jehovah's free gift of power. Then there are virtually no limits to what we may do for him. Now, isn't that a cause for rejoicing? Notice this power does not come of its own volition or through any effort on our part. Power comes from Jehovah and through our relationships with him. When he is within us and we are within him, his power is available for us. From his power, then, comes our confidence. I was blessed yesterday by hearing a word from one of our sisters who told a parable of God coming to the door of the house and saying, I'd like to come in. And the homeowner saying to God, you may come in, but just stand in the hallway, please. I don't want you to see my cupboards. I don't want you to see my kitchen. I don't want you to see my basement. I don't want you to see my attic. That is not confidence. That is not opening the door of our heart to Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, the Lord God Almighty. But the parable goes on to talk about developing that power as we let him step further and closer into our homes. And the closer he comes into our homes, the further he goes, looks into our closets and looks into our bedrooms and looks into our attics and looks into our basements, the more power he gives us, because the more trusting we are of him. A second element of joy comes from our belief and our faith in our eternal Elohim, his son Adonai Yeshua, and the blessed Holy Spirit. There are two parts to belief or faith, the first being trust and the second, action. I've spoken a good deal over the last few years about emunah, trust in action. But I have not explored this relationship between trust and action for a while. As an element of joy, this would be important. Am I able to believe in Jehovah's word without trusting? Isaiah has focused on this issue very clearly in his 40th chapter. Listen to his teachings for us. In verse 31, but those who hope in Adonai will renew their strength. They will soar aloft as with eagle's wings. When they are running, they won't grow weary. When they are walking, they won't get tired. Amen. What does Adonai mean by hope in Adonai? There are two words for hope in Hebrew. One is sever, meaning a hope, which is a noun, while the other, tikva, is a verb, to hope. We see tikva used many times in the Hebrew scriptures in quite unusual ways. For example, in Joshua 2:18, we see Rahab being commanded to believe or hope in the word of Jehovah. You tie this piece of scarlet cord in your window, you let us down from. The Hebrew word for tie this piece is tikshri, a combination of sever and tikva. Here we see belief turned into action. This cannot occur without trust. Rav Shaul confirms this relationship between belief and hope in Romans 15 when he writes, may God, the source of hope, fill you completely with joy and shalom as you continue trusting. As Jehovah is the source of hope, then we have no need to fear the truth of his word. It's that simple. Let's focus for a moment on the relationship each of us has with Adonai Elohim Tzevaot, Lord God Almighty. As we know, this relationship is created when we confess our sins to him and ask for forgiveness, express our desire to turn around to Teshuvah and walk on his narrow path rather than on the world's broad path, invite him into our hearts to create change, to transform our hearts, to become more like his, and commit to following his life instructions, the Torah of Adonai Yeshua, the Creator. If we stop there, then we will have a relationship with the ruler of the universe, but it might not be long-lasting, just as the seed was sown on shallow soil may not be long-lasting. There is a fifth step we need to complete in order to ensure our relationship will be solidified. That is, walking out in trust. our tying the scarlet cord to the window of our hearts. Through displaying our obedience to his word, we signal to him our desire for a deep relationship with the lover of our souls. And then we have gained another vital element of joy, closeness to Jehovah. The closer we are to the source of our joy, and I mean our real joy, the greater will be the fulfillment of joy in our lives. From this closeness comes shalom. Remember, shalom is not merely peace. It is Jehovah's fullness within us and his completeness overtaking us. I know many of us within this room this morning have experienced this incredible joy which overtakes us when we know his presence and enter into his presence. And this closeness to Jehovah can overcome the effects of even the most oppressive of circumstances. Rav Shaul understood this. Just listen to his expression of joy while being imprisoned, as found in Philippians 4. I have learned to be content regardless of circumstances. And here we have another element of joy, contentment. The Apostle Matthew in his 6th chapter writes, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing, as Messiah teaches us? In this verse, Adonai Yeshua is sharing with us the conditions of contentment, accepting our life without worry, care, or fear, knowing Jehovah, our great and mighty God, has us protected and secure through his love. With this understanding, we will be content. What is the requirement? Well, from Matthew 6, only that we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then we will receive what we need to live and to complete the tasks he has for us. Once we let fear and worry enter our hearts, we stop seeking his kingdom and his righteousness and focus instead on the things of the world. We move from under his protective wings into the world of sin. Once more, Rav Shaul in Hebrews 13 clarifies this issue of contentment. Therefore, we say with confidence, Adonai is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can a human being do to me? Why is it then, even some believers seek after more of the things of the world rather than relying on the one who wants us to have all we need? I know unbelievers, through their human natures, crave what the world has to offer them. Within the world of sin, the bumper sticker, he with the most toys wins. Here are some statistics which might help us put the issue of want versus contentment into proper perspective. 93% of the world's population do not have a stable roof over their heads, nor a minimum of 3 meals a day. 80% of the world's population live on less than $10 a day. 75% of the world's population do not own a pair of shoes. How many of those don't have feet either? 22,000 children each day die of poverty-related diseases. Almost 30% of all children in developing countries are malnourished and dehydrated. Does this help us put our problems into perspective? Do we need convincing to be content with our lives, or do we wish to continue complaining and whining about our situations? as if that will help us dig ourselves out of the messes we have created for ourselves. But I promised this wouldn't be a hard message, so I better stop that there. How do we express the joy Jehovah gives us? I would imagine each one of us expresses joy in our own unique ways. However, there are some common ways in which we celebrate and share the joy within our hearts. As this morning, each time praise and worship occurs in Kehillah, I hear joy. I hear joy in the words which come from our hearts, through our lips, and I see joy in the dancing that takes place at our tables. Although I'd like to see more of that. Rejoicing. What a word this is. There are two words in Hebrew which mean rejoice. The first is a biblical definition for rejoicing. Yechil, meaning to spin around with gladness. And the second, samach, meaning showing gladness. When we have a holy day, we often say to each other, Chag Sameach, which means joyful festival. So to be joyful literally means to spin around or dance with gladness. As we read of David in 2 Samuel 6, verse 14, spinning around or dancing with gladness as he brought the Ark of the Covenant home to Jerusalem after he defeated the Philistines in battle. This gives us permission to dance before Jehovah with abandon, within pure joy. So to bring his message to his conclusion, let's renew what joy means in our lives today. Joy comes when we have confidence in Jehovah's promises. Faith and action, emunah, are integral elements of joy, the essence, the fuel for our joy. The closeness of our relationship with Jehovah. Contentment. Beloved, we are in a position to receive the joy he wants for us. We must want it, though. I'm reminded of the story of the man who hated his job. His pay was much lower than his qualifications might indicate he received. His duties were menial, and he did not have good relations with his colleagues. When asked why he didn't seek other employment, his response was, "Better the devil I know than the devil I don't know." If we are in this situation, then we lack the joy Adonai Elohim Tzevaot has for us. Dear ones, are you looking for more of his joy? Do you wish you were filled with his presence? These desires are ours if we only ask and step forward in trust of him. Adonai, our beloved Abba. Adonai, we come to you and ask for your filling us with joy, filling us with confidence, filling us with the beauty that you have for us. Help us to reach out to you and to claim your love as ours. Help us to reach out to you, to give ourselves to you, to confess our sins and ask for forgiveness, to claim we are yours and you belong to us. Abba, we seek you, our endless and unique source of pure joy, our unquenchable joy. Your joy is greater than our need to cling to things of this world. B'shem Yeshua Moshechenu, Amen.